From the iconic Outkast from their Throwback Thursday R&B Jams album. And hi, this is Tenfro broadcasting from the other side of Martin on Mississippi Avenue. I'm just tickled pink. The day started out gray, but I'm still pretty happy. And what's the tea, you may ask, from Tenfro? Absolutely nothing. I'm just chilling, working out the whole closing process for the third time in my life, and it's a biatch. But Tenfro, what I'm doing is listening to music. All through this podcast, I will be playing some riffs on some favorite things that I've been listening to all week, admiring everyday excellence, wishing the Duke and Duchess cousin Megan congrats on their new baby, eating great food and reading from listeners. And I hope you enjoyed this episode, and thank you for joining me as always on this part of Barton Avenue. Or I should say, the other side of Barton Avenue. And here I go, shaking it like a Polaroid picture. Have a great day. Y'all don't want to know, you just want to dance. That is Call Me Cruella, Florence and the Machine, from Disney's 2021 Cruella that premiered this weekend. All of the music in this segment I'll be jamming to is from the soundtrack named The Same by various artists. I like this because it starts out with Cruella de Vil, and it says how, you know, evil she is, but she was mischievous, but she wasn't mean or insane. Some of the crap that she did was a little insane. She got away with a lot until she got expelled from her school, but she had a propensity to get into trouble, but her nature was well earned, I think. And that voice is of no other body but Whole Lotta Love by Tina Turner and Ike. That's also from the soundtrack for Cruella. That's one of the things that struck me, that she survived because of all of the love that her mother, the woman that raised her, I should say, and I don't want to give anything away, but that's one of the twists in the movie, that she survived because of the love of her mother, as well as the friends that she befriended, and even eventually we'll find out the butler that saved her life twice now in the movie. And it should be called how she went from Estella to Cruella de Vil, or how the making of Cruella. You know, that would have been another great movie title for this movie. that is Fire from the Ohio Players. And Fire actually plays a really big part in the movie itself, from the unveiling of a gown that she bought from a secondhand shop, and she busts up the Baroness's initial show, fashion show, and she's all tricked out in this red, flame red silk gown that actually was created by the Baroness, but she said she fixes it. It's great, I think.
Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day.
And this is Nina Simone, Feeling Good, from the Cruella soundtrack. And this is, to me, if you listen to the lyrics, you find out that she's feeling good, and it's a new dawn, it's a new day, a new life. This explains the rebirth of Estella to Cruella, and everything that's happened in this little kid's life that called to be this characterization of herself. She could just lean into being a witch, and definitely she has could have a cool streak, but at the same time, deep down, she's actually really good. And it kills me that we always think from the movie 1001 Dalmatians that Cruella actually hates Dalmatians, but she really doesn't. The Dalmatians and the vicious Dalmatians in the movie actually come to love her and to mind her, which I think is great. And there's a reason why she had this animosity against this breed of dog, and it had nothing to do with what the original Disney movie actually came out from it, because of her previous experience, or initial experience, or exposure to these dogs. And it is absolutely amazing how this villain was villainized for being a badass bitch, you know what I mean? But she used her badassery to basically get what she wanted, get her friends free, and get what was rightfully hers. And you can't fault her, and you can celebrate it. No, the whole devil worship and hell thing, I'm not so sure about that. But I'm also so sure about, what I am sure about, is that this movie, from its fashion to the musical score to the acting, I was basically thoroughly impressed with it, and I give it 5 stars. And I think it's one of the things either you need to download and pay the subscription to Disney Plus. But it does work well if you actually watch it at the movie theater, too.
Girls, we run this mother.
And that is the Queen Bey herself, Run the World, Girls. What a great way to start out this section of Tinfro, everyday excellence, and in this case, black excellence. I'm admiring today, and I wanted to start this by saying that I read this great article. I think it was just so well written in the New York Times, some of the New York Times magazine, and it was pretty, it was about Kevin Durant and everybody. You know, these guys are super duper rich and everybody admires them from an international standpoint, but why can't we give the same kudos to black women doing just basically great things? In particular, You know, as I said, the article was well written. Kevin Durant, everybody is worshiping him, and the big three of the New York Jets, not the New York Jets, excuse me, the Brooklyn Nets, as they plow through the NBA Finals. And who knew? I didn't think they were all that good because they were a losing team just 4 years ago. But I'm glad he's doing well. I don't think a lot of people have forgiven him since he left Oklahoma, but he's doing great things now. But everyday Black excellence goes to these two women, Corinne Jean-Pierre and Amber Goodwin, because in spite of all of those things, they're doing just excellent baller things. Corinne Jean-Pierre is the first Black woman with natural hair, feisty, short. She's like probably the size of one of my legs, and she's running it. And I heard on another podcast how she basically stood as protection between Kamala Harris and a disgruntled activist during when she was running for president. She doesn't take anything, and she's protective, and she's just badass. And then there's Miss Amber, lawyer, prosecutor, hope probably, Amber Goodwin, who graduated from college 20 years ago and was not accepted into any law schools. And she, in the meantime, got her master's and life went on. And just this month, or excuse me, last month, she posted about her 20-year journey, and she graduated from law school, and I think with honors, this past May. So congratulations to Amber Goodwin and Miss Corinne Jean-Pierre, both baller Black women in this day where people don't protect us. And, you know, just overall, you know, I'm doing other things, like I'm basically working on my brand, or trying to make sense of and utilizing social media because I'm promoting myself, creating merchandise, and creating just hopeful, great food, possible food eating experiences online. I've been very active this past week in one of my food creations. Like this past Sunday, I created and recorded what I call brown butter risotto. You get brown butter risotto when you let the butter kind of get a little bit singed, but it becomes more flavorful as you let the color of the rice cook in and absorb all of that rich seafood and chicken broth. Just be careful. You may want to use a low sodium chicken broth or seafood broth if you're going to be using the Reggiano Parmesan cheese, because that also has a salty consistency to it, and it could be slightly over salty if you don't do it right. Also, I topped it with shrimp. And also, my Instagram feed is taking on newer dimension. It's because I also not only post stills, but I'm also started a food blog. And in a word, if Cruella De Vil can lean into her villainousness and evilness, I surely can lean into the reason why I'm so big. I love to eat, and I haven't exercised a lot. Hopefully, I'll be able to increase the exercise, but my intent is to continue to eat as well as I have been and presented to the world. And this is how I'm going to take over the world, one meal at a time, and posting it on social media. OMG, I almost forgot to end this. This is a great way to end this basically social section, talking about food, talking about admiring Black excellence. How about this weekend, this past Friday, Lily Beth, Diana Mountbatten Windsor was born to Prince Harry and Duchess Cousin Meghan in California. 7 pounds, 11 ounces. She's a big girl, little girl. Sounds like she was size of a term kid. There was none of this hours after the baby's birth, who in heels and a loose-fitting dress presenting the kid to the world. Because that wasn't about to happen, because she is like her brother, doesn't have a title, they don't have a security detail, there's no presentation until they feel it's safe for their kid. So there you go. Congratulations, Duke and Cousin Duchess, on the birth of your newborn baby. Jam to that particular masterpiece. Well, I have spent like the last several months, I have discovered RuPaul's Drag Race, and I watched all 13 episodes. The 2020 was crazy, or this past season was crazy, and then I binge watched all of All Stars, and Simone kicked butt. And actually, that character, or that actress, his name is like Reggie Harris or something like that, was profiled in the style section of the New York Times this past Sunday. And I thought it was how far along in the acceptance across the globe with this phenomenon called Drag Race. And whatever you can say about it, I don't care. One, if you're homophobic or you just don't understand or you can't get it and you don't want to use the proper pronouns, you don't need to listen to my podcast. Kick rocks. But since I started writing listeners, I not only am trying to develop a believable and a well-rounded black heroine with an afro, Felicity Gundren, but I've also... out of my binge watching and admiration for Drag Race, created a character in Listeners. The character's name is Tariq, and he's taken on, or she, because Tariq as Grace J is a she when she is in drag, and he is he, but he's a homosexual. Exploring, and I wanted to, I needed to make this character unique, well-rounded, and believable, because there are so many of us with different gender identities and with different talents across the board. And I may have read this particular chapter of listeners prior to this podcast, but what I'm finding out as I rewrite and add further information into the book, I'm also finding that I'm really, hopefully, developing the characters a little bit better as I try to tie in the storyline. So this is my online reading from my book, The Listeners. This is the chapter, Family Reunion. The dark web, we are just going to have to call it the black web. Fuck it. We have to run it. We get to name it, says Felicity to the one entity. The one replies, really? The front gate buzzer sounds in Hacker's Grotto. Felicity's cousin, Devin, submits herself to a retinal scan, and then she points behind her where... It's one of the things I like. When I read, I actually catch, and I can actually change the wording on the book itself. But where there is a blacked-out electric SUV parked behind her, pulling off as soon as the camera focuses on it. She notices no tags, but her glasses also are equipped with a high-quality camera, takes pictures of the driver and a side-view image of the passenger. The not-so-undercover agent's photos are reconstructed and then ran through the facial recognition software perfected by her cousin Felicity and her husband, Dahl. So by the time she parks, grabs some fresh coffee in the kitchen of the main house, and then she enters Hacker's Grotto, the two black shirt agents are identified as formerly black ops within CIA and Homeland Security. Their presence together, testament to the rapid consolidation of all parts of the U.S. government. Outside of Hacker's Grotto and Afro Druids, no one had the technical expertise or hardware to create and operate an ionic quantum computer and personalized portable holographic imagers. The world, even as late as 2019, was not prepared for everything the Lundgrens and the cult-like following of Afro Druids was discovering and creating. What seemed to gag the U.S. government and the titans of technology was the advanced chip technology and supposition and subversion of theoretical physics into advanced applied quantum mechanical physics. The bids for work coming from the U.S. military and Silicon Valley would go unanswered, but it would not stop the business moles. And thieves to attempt to infiltrate and steal this technology, only to be met with digitalized laughing Afro skulls and barking Rottweilers. The family was off-grid because they had the economic means to build and maintain the telescope and could create with an industrial-grade 3D printer. They raised their own food, and because of their personal solar grid panel so near the Tennessee Valley Power Authority and converting power electricity from waterfalls throughout their property, the state could not extract any more money out of the clearly wealthy couple. They also have been giving the double middle finger to the U.S. government and most governments for two decades. Their last visible means of employment was as associate professors at Rome State, which had been converted, meaning their salaries had been converted to cryptocurrency. They, like Grace J., did not trust banks, so had a reported $10 million stashed throughout the mountain and means to get more through accounts not traceable to themselves. They would also would pioneer work for cryptocurrency beyond Bitcoin with the establishment of the first cryptocurrency mining farm in Sweetwater. Unlike other entities, it was powered solely by hydroelectricity and solar panels like Hacker's Grotto. It would be serviced by the ever-growing intellectuals, establishing a decidedly young colony of former computer engineers and professors, keen on continued research, but now able to support their families and continue the work to support their this newfound stream of income. They would establish the newest platform for training and security trading of the currency, with proceeds funding the most advanced library, symphony, arts council in Eastern Tennessee. With the mayor being a true independent former chancellor of Vanderbilt's physics department. The Lundgren's work in cybersecurity, cryptocurrency, with the rising anti-hacker stardom, landed them on the watch list of most federal law enforcement agencies who did not understand them and envied by other nefarious individuals for their wealth. They were an annoyance to the IRS because they knew of their assets, but had no apparent income or none recorded since 2009. Legally, the IRS could not tax what it could not see. But the replaced government, particularly MIF, not because of suspicions of undeclared income, it was the replacement suspicions they were the evolve that could formally usher humanity into the continuum, but also alert the continuum to the replacement's interference. They were taking a hard look at them, at actually the Lundgrens. An extended family. Lundgren's extended family and allies. But no matter, they were off-grid and increasingly untouchable. The U.S. government stepped up their surveillance after the embarrassing trade halt, first overseas and at the U.S. and British exchanges. The blacked-out armored SUVs parked menacingly outside the gates. It wasn't until the drone flyovers when they would arm their own devices. When they began to shoot down the intruders, the replacements took notice. Learning through the dark web, the occupants of the farm in Tennessee, of all places. Alarming in the scientific brilliance in the most unlikely of places, with sophisticated telescopes and a matching expertise. Wondering if these humans set up would allow them to communicate with the intent continuum, and how much did they know? The large-scale replacement started before the 2008 election in the U.S., with the next 16 years needed to subvert and camouflage the replacement's true intention, eradication of the human race. Chaos, disasters, genocide, violence, pestilence, environmental destruction was the shield they had used in the last millennium to cover up their mission of human eradication from this planet and the universe. But they need a willing despot, literally and figuratively, to scorch the earth to fulfill his delusions of grandeur, willing to sacrifice anyone, including his own children, for kindling to the flame of domination. The match lit, the gasoline torch touched to the dumpster fire, ushering in 2016, and nearly a half a decade would begin the days of chaos. The replacements require chaos to operate. Their movements needed to be camouflaged. After the 2016 election, and even before the oath of office had been taken, the reorganization of the cabinet and reporting structure changed. Ironically, the military and black ops of the CIA were not replaced, but as easily as Homeland Security and the head of the U.S. Justice Department were. Those departments were combined with the new reporting lieutenant, the president's own interrogator-trained daughter, his whole bevy of advisors. And what did I call her? Were not subject to congressional approval, and this new structure so harmful on many levels. Each day of the first 100 came edicts and declarations more bizarre than the last, with a definite suspension of normal rules of conduct. All devoid, all actions devoid of ethics and no moral direction. With the full support of the GOP Senate leader, the new direction of the country changed with the rise of the first American dictatorship. Pesky walls like the balance of power between all the branches and the states' rights went out the window. GOP and other more cowardly governors who proposed fealty to the lunatic president were met with financing and invites to the White House and exclusive golf resorts. Nothing was exempt. Annoying the departments like the EPA, CDC, all gutted, with finances redirected to build a wall that was not needed and to steer the narrative from the takeover. The FCC was replaced, and long-standing contracts for airtime were suspended with the creation of the new governmental news agency dedicated to spreading the new propaganda directed by Tucker Carlson and the other Fox News goons. Sadly, outside of online and other satellite providers, CNN, BBC, Al Jazeera all became not available. An unease settled worldwide. Armchair scientists and other intellectuals saw the writing on the wall and went underground. Most seeking out assistance from friends and building bunkers or wanting to share space in others. Ex-head of technology companies started building shelters or started looking to put themselves nearer to places like Sweetwater. There was a large influx of these intellectuals to Tennessee, but also to Texas and the partially abandoned Super Collider, as well as to the partially abandoned Kennedy Space Center in Florida. I'm going to have to come up with a purpose of the Super Collider and the Kennedy Space Center and even GPL in the New World Order. Maybe that'll be what my next book, the second part of this book, will be called. As a day of chaos, as the first few months of the new administration of 2016 became known with the newly elected but replaced administration, was installed and continued to consolidate their power. The intruder alarms on Lundgren's farm became more of a frequent annoyance. The days of the errant unarmed hiker were few and far between, but the audacity and the depravity became such that Felicity and Dahl would create armed drones with high-powered weapons manufactured and they would manufacture an illegal robotic Gatling gun way too easily to obtain the parts and ammunition but necessary in these crazy times. Afro-Druids, the brainchild of Felicity and Dahl Lundgren and the intellectual international outgrowth of friends, colleagues, and students, even before they defended their dissertation and won awards. But it would serve as the protective body for their intellectual and financial properties for the rest of their careers and lives. The Afro-Druids were a loose but connected group of followers comprised of former students and colleagues and all other sci-fi nerds. And hacker nerds were the most ardent followers, and with the support of the Lundgrens, had secured very prominent positions at JPL, NASA, ESA, Google, Tesla, SETI, and the Gregor Telescope, just to name the few. Just to name a few, with federal and international support for scientists, federal and international support for scientists became non-existent, the application of science for monetary gain became paramount. Profit as scientific organizations became highly capitalized, only intent on their bottom lines and not purely scientific discovery. In the decades since mining their first cryptocurrency, effectively monetizing their discoveries, giving them control on their research, not making them dependent on research dollars, they became the authors of their own successful narrative. Like most days, Felicity fixes herself a cup of noodles, walking to the monitors with lights flat, She boots up to see a message from Tariq, a.k.a. Grace J, his drag alter ego, her physicist, quantum engineer, but queen of the drag runway cousin, and reads this message. Tighten up. This itch just got real out here, Grace. When Felicity tried to reply, she got the ominous words, account deleted. Dahl senses Felicity's distress and asks, what's going on, hun? Felicity, turning and frowning, and walks toward the entrance to the living quarters and says, Afro Druids is going dark. We have to bring the talent in-house. We got some creating to do. No sooner after Tariq hits send on the message and then deletes his account, the replacement government began to make good in harassing the Lowe family into submission. Lundgren family, I should say. Tariq drives up to the observatory to start his usual shift, but notices new fencing and armed guards blocking the entrance. He pulls up to the gate, noting the armored tanks flanking the entrance to the front overhang of the telescope. He pulls up and stops as a guard approaches. Tariq says, good morning. When did the army move in? He says in an effective way. You know, kind of snotty like they do on Drag Race. But anyways, the guard says, we are not regular army, but the National Guard. The governor has secured the site. Your services are no longer required. Tariq says, thanks for the info. Tariq, not completely shook, but he felt something in his bones. He gases up his Jeep at a nearby station. He creates a separate account to send another message to the Afro Druids before deleting it also. He drives to his apartment complex, not completely shocked, when he sees U.S. Marshals removing his belongings. Always grateful, he keeps a bag of his high-end makeup from Anastasia, his satellite phone, and a personal hacker computer with him at all times. He drives by, noticing the commotion, and moves on to a storage unit outside of town. He would pack up his Jeep with camping equipment, a portable shower, a portable potty, and trash bags. Even before his bank accounts were frozen, he had been withdrawing his checks for years and placing the cash in a $30 footlocker in storage, the sum totaling over $500,000 in cash. He would then remove his tags, replacing with Tennessee plates, and rapidly spray painting the car a reflective matte black color, making it virtually invisible from space. He connected to the satellite system. Gathering some intel that had become erratic over the past few weeks, he would then pop his hood and disable the engine kill switch, removing his satellite radio as well as any other tracking devices. He would then take a few minutes to transform into his Grace Jones alter drag ego. He would break his oversized iPhone in half, throwing the pieces and the rest of the detritus of his former life into the trash truck. He then folds himself behind the wheel again, turning his Jeep east, heading to Tennessee. To fully understand Tariq, you had to understand his alter ego, Grace J. With Tariq and now Grace J, it wasn't so much the meaning of life he was searching for, it was his place in life. Tariq had questioned his sexual identity since, well, forever. He came out of the womb switching, as his Aunt Mabel affectionately tells everyone. He never really had to come out because everyone knew and just encouraged him to live his truth, and they would kick anyone's ass that tried him. He mastered makeup application and treated his girl cousins and other on the DL boy cousins to wet and wild basic makeovers. He learned to create his own African-American skin-inspired creations through his love and mastery of biochemistry. He studied everything he could about Madam C.J. Walker, and using his cousins Felicity and Devin as guinea pigs in his creations, his film collaborations on drag makeup and drag runway creations would be circulated widely among the drag community, landing him a spot on Bob Mackie's formal teams. And his basic knowledge and then windfall earnings as an astro druid cryptocurrency founder would allow him to purchase a controlling interest in the superior makeup line Anastasia, ensuring generational wealth through his biological family and his drag family, House of Grace, the full latex cat suits, calf leather structured gowns, makeup with additional Bob Mackie design gowns for a bitch on a budget, each unique and works of art, the collections of shoes. With stiletto heels for a doll's size 15 feet. With specialty design and crafted garments to accentuate and give curves or a close approximation, he continued contribution to the establishment of crypto farms and crypto exchanges with the assistance of Felicity and the Lundgren sisters, who he affectionately called the two Z's, Zahara and Zahira. That would allow him to keep the community that chose him safe and financially secure. He, nor would anyone who looked like him or his superhero cousin Felicity, would never be allowed to create generational wealth in a white supremacist rule world. But on the dark web and cryptocurrency, if you created the rules, you ruled the world. This pissed off every elitist and racist across the planet, but these envious fools could not stop what they could not see. Grace J was the age and fully aware of death from possible fists of homophobic brawlers and crazed white supremacists, but protected by family. When he tested positive for HIV, the life-saving cocktails were widely available and in reach. He lived with the HIV scourge for 27 years, with copies of the virus being undetectable for years, in spite of the disease burying friends and enemies way too soon. I got the idea of this storyline because the series finale of Pose came on yesterday, and I stayed up late watching it, and I'm glad I did, but I'm actually going to need to rewatch it because I think I missed some of it. His first attempt at a drag house had been derailed by HIV and then came roaring back. He had learned to navigate life with a lack of support from the government, initially the African-American Christian community, but survive he and the rest of his alphabet community would. He would invest a portion of his billions in expensive treatments for PCP, that is pneumocystis, pneumonia, and then the newest and most effective cocktails, keeping him and his daughters alive, quote unquote, to slay on the runway another day. His connection to the top infectious disease specialist globally would become of service as a mysterious illness began to emerge from Wuhan. Zahira and Zahara Lundgren, younger than their brother Dahl, but were equally brilliant. Dahl's spinster twin sisters lived and worked for years as actuaries for the World Bank, but pursued their passion in paleontology and archaeology, traveling the world for years. They would split their time between the Alps in Switzerland, London, New York, and in Hong Kong. They, like Felicity Dahl and Grace J, would create the basis of cryptocurrency and the technology of crypto farms, would make them, behind Felicity and the Queen of England, two of the independently wealthiest women in the world. Since their parents went off-grid, their existence was virtually unknown to anyone outside of crypto and then the paleontology circles. With no attachment to any conventional institution, their financial means were virtually untraceable. Their existence wasn't so much like the slow decay witnessed in Great Gardens because they were engaged in the world and continued to travel globally, but they were very eccentric and just weird. They were not, They were not twins, but were close in age and stature, that they leaned into people mistaking them as such. They had their own language and wore color combinations of weird hand-sewn creations. They really never required or demanded the company of others except collaborations with like-minded individuals in mathematics and other scientific circles. The scientific musings and observations, the weird, Felicity and Dahl had learned to take with a grain of salt. So late in November of 2019, while in their home in Hong Kong, they received a call from the French consulate that they were asking French citizens to voluntarily return to France. They took no notice until they also began to see uniformed troop movements in the streets. And then one by one, barriers went up with calls for curfews. It wasn't until several of the friends in Wuhan province began to disappear and the national blackout on TV and online, they became suspicious of something being amiss. They would contact Dahl using the direct messaging on the dark web. Dahl picks up a chuckling at the frazzled appearance of his sisters, and says, "Sisters, to what do we, the sisters, speak in unison panic? We have to get to the mountain. There is talk about a contagion with people dying in the streets in Wuhan. The French consulate is closed in Hong Kong. The regular Chinese army has moved in." Dahl exclaims, "Shit, where are you?" The sisters say, "Macau, we board a cargo jet and then fly to Chicago. We get in really late. Then we have arranged for ground transportation to Tennessee." Dahl says, "But why?" The sisters, "A bioweapon was released in Wuhan and the Chinese government is maybe trying to cover it up. Dahl, but you can bring it here. the sister says, maybe, but it's airborne, and it looks like most become symptomatic in 10 days or less. We have been sequestered in masks for the past 20 days and no symptoms yet. We know it's so dangerous, and we can sequester in one of your outbuildings until we develop or obtain testing supplies and are clean. Felicity's split screen, the leaked video of the Chinese ophthalmologist. We will be expecting you. We would have sent one of the jets, but we dispatched them to get the other founders here. Safe journey. The sister sigh. Thanks, sister. Disconnect. Deleting their accounts out of precaution. Grand Mabel asks, what's this? Dahl says, my not so crazy sisters are fleeing China. The trip may be trickier. Most of the air traffic out of Asia is being rerouted or deterred. Felicity, they may have to land in Hawaii and then sail. We have to prepare the upper quarters, but in the meantime, we can put them in the gardener's cottage while they self-quarantine. Huang, do you know what they're talking about? Huang says, a super virus of villainous possibilities. I know my former classmate at the CDC will know what's going on, and I will have a test for you shortly. They log onto the news. The WH news agency reported nothing, but the news from Japan and Korea had turned ominous. By the time the World Health Organization called it a pandemic, a U.S. foreign secretary returning from Beijing was sneezing to his hand and his droplets infecting everyone aboard his jet. The briefing in the White House and his family, all becoming the first casualty of this scourge, this new scourge. Infectious scourge. I'm saying Huang, a student. I kind of wrote him in without giving him a part. Actually, I'm going to make him assistant professor at Rowan College. And that's where I going to leave this section of listeners. I have already read the introduction of the other founders or members of Afro Druids that are going to start coming and posting up and moving back in full time into Sweetwater. It's going to be imperative that I kind of, when I start the rewrite, trying to make sure the names are consistent and the storylines are consistent. And I hope you enjoyed this segment of Tenfro is eating and reading and writing and visiting places and watching movies, because I thoroughly enjoyed creating it for you. Navigate to shipabagofdicks.com, because some people are just stupid, using my offer code TenfroGotJokes to get up to 20% off of your order when you use it in the discount code. And just be careful. COVID is still hunting people. They're racist, ready to try to take you out. But find those things that make you happy and do them as long as they hurt nobody else. And like Sierra invokes us to do in this song, level up. This is how we're going to level up, and we're going to make it to the next stage. And we know this is right. I'm shining.